Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor. Today I have here with me Eva McManaman, and I'm excited to introduce you. Actually, I'm excited for her to introduce herself. So tell us, Eva, a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself, your family, your ministry. Tell us everything.
Thank you, Chrissy. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm Eva McManaman, and I am a daughter of a king, child of God. I am wife to Mark McManaman. I am mom to three amazing kids, Andrew, Nathan, and Abigail. And I am also a full-time working mom. So I'm an HR associate at an accounting firm here in Massachusetts. And my ministry, which I love so much, is called Finding the Joy Within, and it's brought so much joy to my life. So at Finding the Joy Within, I help busy moms, busy Christian women, manage their time. I help them prioritize self-care and also keep God at the center of their life, their relationship, their goal setting, as well as their career in business.
Wow, that sounds like a lot. I love it. That sounds important. So are you working from home right now? You must be.
Yeah. So today's holiday because of the Patriots Day here in Massachusetts. But I'm working from home currently.
So you are passionate about prayer and creating goals with God, which is an interesting but important mix that I've never really thought about that much before. So why did you start thinking about prayer and goal setting like this? Like, I'm assuming this isn't something where you were always like this. Is there a story behind this?
There is absolutely a story. There's always a story, isn't there? So there's definitely a story behind it. So a couple of years ago, I got the kids, I woke up tired, got the kids ready for school, got them on the school bus, grabbed my breakfast to eat in the car on the way to work. Drove to work, and it's a 30-minute drive, but as I'm driving, I'm like going through my whole to-do list. Like, I need to finish this project for work. I need to drive the kids somewhere for practice. Like the whole list, got to work, parked the car, went into work, did my work, and I'm leaving with a couple co-workers, and I went to my car, put the key in the ignition and turned it, and nothing happened. Tried it again, it turned over a little, but it didn't catch enough to start. So I tried it a few more times, and finally I called my husband and I said, you know what, like, the car's not working, you're gonna have to come pick me up. And, we had replaced the battery a couple weeks ago, so we knew it wasn't the battery. We couldn't figure out what was going on. So he came, he picked me up. In fact, the next day, we went over to the parking garage because I had to leave my car there to figure out what was going on. And he tried it. He couldn't figure it out. So finally, we called the mechanic, and he's like, I can fit you in today if you bring the car. And we're like, sweet. So we went over, we got a tow truck, paid for the tow truck, towed it to the mechanic, and then waited for him to tell us what was wrong. And in the car, we're like, if it's the transmission and if it's about this amount, X amount of dollars, we're probably not going to fix it because, it wasn't an old car, but it wasn't like new enough to like sink a lot of money into it.
Right.
So the mechanic called finally. He's like, hey, it's the mechanic. We checked everything in the car. It looks good, actually. He's like, we just noticed, though, that it didn't have any gas. Then it hit me. Oh my gosh, Chrissy, I was so embarrassed. So embarrassed. Point where, the next day, after the weekend, I went to work, and my coworkers who had seen me like tried it, they're like, oh, what happened to your car? And I'm like, it was a transmission or something. No, I didn't lie, but I ran out of gas. So as silly as that might have sound, honestly, it kind of was a wake-up call for me that day, because I realized that I had driven to work without once glancing at my dashboard. Mm. Not even that, but I was driving without even paying attention to the gas light that might have come on at some point. And it occurred to me that I was so distracted, overwhelmed, stressed, running on empty, literally, right? Yeah. I knew something had to change. And I knew I couldn't do it on my own, because clearly I was not functioning well.
It's like God gave you this like parable of your life. Like,
totally. I know, it's like the running out of gas was such a metaphor for like everything. And it occurred to me, I feel like at some point, we all kind of, if we don't pay attention, we all kind of run out of gas at some point. And it manifests, it shows itself either like if an illness occurs or a loss or financially. At some point, you figure out like this, something is not in, it's not in sync. So anyway, shortly after that, I like called out to God to please help me to find a way to find more harmony in my life. Mm-hmm. And so to guide me in how to prioritize the things that he has assigned to me. Mm-hmm. So that's how it all started. You know, I feel like goal setting and being productive and doing God's work all starts, of course, with the heart, you know, the mind, body, and the spirit, getting that in line. And so I just started leaning on God and asking him to show me how to do this, because clearly I was not doing it well. So that's how it all started. And I figured, you know, if I'm going to set a goal, if I'm going to try to prioritize things in my life, I want them to be in alignment with him and what he wants for me as well.
Wow. You know, that's so crazy. I was listening to Christy Knockle's new book last night, and that is kind of the same idea that, like, for her, it was their label dropped them. She was, her and her husband were musicians, and they just got dropped, and she was like, so she didn't, right? Didn't run out of gas. She ran out of career, but she realized kind of what you're saying, like that it has to, the alignment, it has to come out of who you are as a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. So for you, how does this work then? This whole setting goals with God, like, do you sit down every mm-hmm. day and like, okay, God, let's talk, or like,
yeah. So I, the way how I did it, of course it was slow. And it was just spending time with God, spending time in his word. I found scripture verses that spoke about God's promises. And, you know, earlier this year, I did a workshop with my group, and we did finding your scripture verse for the year. And in mine was Proverbs 3:5, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which is so applicable to me because I'm so spontaneous. Like, I get an idea and I'm jumping on it. Like, oh.
I hear ya. Oh, look at that one over there. And that one. Yeah. And that one. Yes.
Yeah, I can do that. And so for me, the way how it all starts, so it starts for me with reading the word in prayer, like leaning on God's promises. And then really sitting down and thinking about my current roles, like what are my roles that I think God has called me to do? You know, so you look at your life in this season currently, and you're like, what is it that I need to pay attention to? And so you list about 5 of them. So you write 5 of your roles that you're currently doing. And then you kind of think about, how am I spending my time? Am I nurturing these roles that I believe are from God, like my God assignments? Am I using my time to grow in these areas? And so that's kind of how it started for me. And for me, like, my lists are, you know, child of God, like my relationship with God is my priority, is number one. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm also, you know, a coach. And I'm an employee, so I have a long list.
You have more than 5.
Yeah, that was a little bit more than 5. but am I trying? So each day I try to nurture, you know, the people on the list that I have. Because I can say that this person's important or this is important, but my time really is the telltale of what's important to me, how I spend my time. So that's kind of how it starts. And I feel like, you know, I call it kind of like your life's dashboard. So my whole dashboard,
yeah,
like a car dashboard. Mm-hmm. So it's like 1 out of 5 things on your life's dashboard. And are you paying attention that none of them are kind of running on empty mm-hmm. right now? You know, kind of being even, and it's not going to be perfect. There are seasons in life when, in our lives, when things are, you know, certain things are more important or might take preference. You know, being a relationship with God should always be number one to everything else. But then there are other seasons where certain things take place of number 2 or number 3. So it's not going to be like everything's going to be on full, but it's paying attention so that nothing that are important to you and important to God for you is running on empty.
Mm-hmm. So then does that come down to like, like your daily schedule or your more like life goals, year goals? Do you set goals like that? I've never really been a goal setter. Tell me.
So I do 90-day goals, and I pray and I say, God, what is it that you want me to accomplish, you know, during this time? And I spend time, which, you know, it's a process for me, and I'm getting better. I'm not perfect at it, but listening, really listening, like intentional listening has been a big focus of mine, because I can pray like for hours and just talk and talk and talk. But then I have to remind myself, like this morning I was praying and I did my whole prayer, and then I'm like, all right, Eva, now it's time to listen. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like sitting there and I'm waiting and waiting. So listening, I think, is such a big part of it too. And then taking action, like trusting that God is speaking to you. Cause, you know, I feel like a lot of us say we don't hear God's voice. And sometimes it's cause we're not listening too much. Cause I feel like God definitely speaks to us, you know, through his word, through others, you know, through your devotional, which is beautiful. Right here. So I feel like if we just listen, and definitely it's hard. I mean, it's hard for me, but I've been practicing intentional listening and then planning from there. So then if I pray and then I say, okay, this is where I believe you are leading me. And then I take action. So I write down my goals, like for each of my buckets, like for my, as a wife, I'm like, how can I show, you know, my spouse love this day or this week? What can I do for him or her? You know, I read the 5 love languages, which I love so much. So one step is like learning your partner's like love language, and then just like doing something simple each day to nurture that.
I love that. So it's not just about career or like the things on your to-do list. It's about more like a to-love list.
Yeah, it's more like holistically, like your whole life, kind of like what you're, and it sounds like a lot, but I feel like when you do it that way, if you have like 5 things and you just think about, you know, your kids and like, all right, I want to spend 10 minutes a day with my kids each day. And you know, that's something that's kind of not, it's kind of small, but still intentional that you can do. So it's just about being intentional about how you set your time for me, at least. That's been working.
And I love when you're talking about like listening to God. I find that if I would just to take what you're doing and try to implement it in my life, I would probably feel overwhelmed and like, oh, I can't do this. This is like, I give up. But if I'm sitting down with God and I'm saying, okay, what do you want?
Exactly.
Then the advice is going to be very personalized.
Totally. Yes. Because what works for me won't work for everybody. But I feel like we all have our God assignments and our, and the purpose for which we were made, and God knows those plans. So if we go to him, you know, I believe he will tell us what those plans are. So definitely it is personal, just beautiful.
So do you have any like things on your website or anything that could help us get started? Like, do you have, like, I mean, you're talking about like writing down those 5 rules. Do you have a worksheet or anything that we could use if we were?
So I'm putting together the worksheet now. It's not quite done, but it is going to be on the website. Yes. Okay. And I have a guide. It's from busy to joyfully productive. And it's just kind of a step, how to, like, it covers social media, like how to be productive even with social media, and how to distinguish between being busy and being productive. Because I've realized you can be super busy, but not being fruitful. You know, I can be like doing all the things, but not doing like the things God wants me to be. And, you know, not every good thing is like a God thing. You know, there's so many good things we could be doing, but God is calling us to do like certain things. And it's kind of recognizing that and knowing what those are. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, you know what, that's so interesting. I remember like when I was teaching like grade 5-6, one of the other teachers had said something that really stuck with me. He said, the good is the enemy of the best, like, because there's all these good things that you can be doing with your time, but what is, they're the best things that God has for you. Like, often I feel like, oh, I need to be going out and doing this and doing this. And then God's like, girl, I made you a writer. If you were doing all those things, you couldn't do that. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
Okay. Actually, it's quite a relief because I don't necessarily want to do those things. But I feel like to be a good Christian, maybe I should be. But then I'm like, then I would not have time to do the thing that God has put in me.
Called you. Yeah, just for you. Exactly. Yeah. It's so true. I totally believe that too, because there's so much distraction out there. And I'll just say, I feel like it's good to, when you feel overwhelmed or stressed, to like, it's harder to pray, I find, when I'm exhausted or overwhelmed. And so taking care of ourselves and resting when we need to rest is so important, because, you know, I feel like the enemy would want us to be bogged down, wants us to be like, you know, overwhelmed by our schedule, overscheduled, that we can't pay attention to the things that God is calling us to do. We can't spend time praying or reading his word because we are like, we're like being controlled by our to-do list. So it's important to like know that, you know, we have an enemy working against us, and to be kind of mindful of being intentional about really spending time with him.
Mm-hmm. So then let's say that I am already, I'm in that place where my to-do list is taking over my life. Where do I start? Like, I'm like, this sounds great. I'd love to do this. I want this. How do I, like, aside from, you know, taking a vacation, how do
I
start inserting this into my life? How do I change this boat?
Yes. So what I do with my coaching clients is that we make that list, the five things that are on your dashboard that are important to you. And then after we've figured out what those five things are, we select one area that is causing the most of your overwhelm at this time. Is it your work? Is it family? Is it your relationships? And so we focus on that one area, and we put a plan in place, like a 4-week plan, that'll help you take tiny steps towards overcoming that overwhelm. So, for example, like if you're overwhelmed by work, if it's people at work, like or if it's the work itself, what can you find a way to either bring it up to your supervisor or find a coworker that can help you? So it would be more of a give and take, where you would kind of come up with ideas, because I believe that we all have our ideas inside of us. We just need help bringing them out sometimes. So that's how it would work. So then you would have, you know, afterwards you would have kind of a plan of how to overcome that area of your life that is causing you overwhelm. Because overwhelm is not just one thing. Sometimes it's a combination of things. So that's where we would start. So getting the five things in your dashboard, really knowing what they are, making sure they're not just something that you think, but something that really you believe the Holy Spirit is telling you, and then taking the next step from there and how to fix one section.
Yeah, that's great, because it's not like this huge major overhaul of your life. And makes so much sense, but like, I love this idea of the little habits, right? Like, you're just doing one little thing at a time, and eventually it adds up, right? And that's the way to sustainable change.
I love little habits as well. They're powerful.
Have you read that BJ Fogg book, The Tiny Habits?
I have not. No, I did read Atomic Habits.
It's probably the same thing. Like, similar, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be kind of preaching the same thing. It's the little ones that make the big difference, right?
It's so true, though. It's so true. It's so funny, because the other day I told you I love to run, but the other day it was a run day. So Wednesday I usually run, and I woke up tired and I'm like, I don't feel like running today. I'm like, but it's a run day. And just out of habit, I had my clothes set out. Like, I'm like, I'm just, before I was running, and I'm like, oh, it's a habit that I'm like, here I am.
How did I get out the door?
It totally works. It's so true.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, that's what I need to do. Set my clothes out.
Exactly. Do it. It helps.
So let's talk, like, shift gears a little bit here. Let's talk about your family. So how does this, I'm assuming this impacts your family in the way that you share your faith with your kids and how you talk to them about their own lives. Oh, how old are your kids? I think they're not little,
so
right?
13, 12, and then Abigail just turned 9 last Friday.
So you're probably like right in the like starting of the stage where you're trying to help them develop these things for themselves too. So how do you share faith with your family? Are you at the point yet where you're trying to help your older kids transition into kind of having more of their own faith habits? Tell us how this looks in your family.
Well, it's definitely not perfect in our family.
No, but it's never perfect.
It's never perfect, right? Which is good too. So what we try to do is we try to have weekly devotionals in our home on Sundays. And so it's just like after dinner, we'll gather in the living room. It's very informal. I have learned to go with the flow because, to be honest, I'm a little controlling.
Okay.
And I want things to be like perfect, kind of. I have perfectionist tendencies, which I'm praying to God to help me with. But anyway, it's a different topic. But I've learned that. So we do the devotional. The kids come. I mean, they're fidgeting and all that stuff, and it works. So we either select a gospel reading. So my husband, one of us will read it. Maybe one of the kids. The kids, my boys like to read one. So they'll usually read like the gospel passage, and then we'll just take turns going over what we think it means. And then we'll say, you know, an Our Father, and then we'll say what we're grateful for in our petitions for the week. So it lasts like half an hour, right? And then and so we do that, and then after that we do what I call the sibling pledge. So once a week we do the sibling pledge, and it's the kids get together. So the sibling pledge actually started at a time when the boys were really like fighting and saying hurtful words to each other, which, you know, hurt my mama's heart so badly, because I'm like, come on. And so it was my mom's idea. So anyway, so the way it works is that they gather together in a circle, they hold hands, and then each person kind of affirm their sibling, their next person. So it's like, so it goes like if you and I were doing it, I would say, Christy, I'm so glad that we are friends. I thank God for you. I thank God for sending a friend like you into my life. I pray that God blesses you abundantly, and that he grants all your prayers, and that's it. So that's kind of it. And then it goes to the next sibling, and they say it to each other. So it's like 35 minutes, and we're all done. So we do that. We do have the boys have an app on their phone that has like prayers for each day, like a daily devotional that they read. It's called the Prince Warriors 365 Devotional. So, and I have your book right here. So we, you know, not just got it. We can use this as well. So, yeah, I'm definitely trying to get them to do like kind of their own devotional as well. Like each morning, do you know, a passage or something. So we're starting small. I think cultivating just like a love for God and Jesus is the most important thing to me. Like, I just talk to them about how, you know, God's our friend, and he wants to hear from us, and just talk to him like a friend. And that's kind of what I'm emphasizing right now. So that's how we're doing it. Just small steps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Wait, that's something that I just started with my 12-year-old. He just turned 12 like a few weeks ago, and was like, how can I help you do this, like start doing this on your own? So I was like, after, you know, when he brushes his teeth and heads to bed, that's actually a good time for him. Brush your teeth, you read the Bible, you wait for me to come up and tuck you in, and it's been working pretty good. He actually remembers most nights. I was shocked.
Oh,
but I think you're right, like our job with them in the early years is to cultivate a love for God and for the Bible, and then when they're old enough to do it on their own, hopefully it just requires a little nudge. Like,
yes,
I mean, maybe not with every kid, right? It's like potty training, right? Like some kids just require a little bit like, oh, by the way, you can do this on the potty, and they're like, oh yeah, I got it. And then some require a few months of maybe a little more intense labor, but
exactly,
they all get it eventually.
That's my prayer, you know, that eventually, you know, the Holy Spirit will work in them and rise up in them, and you know, they won't be able to run away from it.
Yes, exactly. No matter where I go, you are there, right?
Yes.
That's 39. I mean, not in a scary way.
No.
I am so following true. You. Just kidding. In a good way.
In a good way. Exactly. Keeping you from doing things you shouldn't.
Exactly. So is there any last encouragement or advice that you have for moms? Anything else that you wanted to say before we wrap up here?
No, I mean, if any moms out there are feeling overwhelmed or stressed, you know, like I was before, like, know that you are not alone. Like, we all go through seasons as well of overwhelm, and just cling to God and cling to his words, and I promise he will get you through it and show you how to prioritize your time and scripture verses that'll help you. So I just, you know, right now I'm doing a retreat. I'm offering a retreat as actually, and it's called Pause and Reset Retreat. And it's just where we actually like figure out your dashboard and what's on it and how you can navigate kind of this season with less overwhelm and more joy. So yeah, I mean, I feel there's so many passages in the Bible where, you know, God tells us just to cast all our anxieties on him and to come to him, and he knows exactly what we need.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So are you doing the retreat live or is it like a digital?
Yeah, so the retreat is like a 60-minute one-on-one call, just like this one.
Oh, cool.
And I feel like it's so personal that I can't tell you what's on your dashboard. Only you kind of know that. So yeah, we go through it together. We figure it out. And I just kind of ask you questions and take it from there. So yeah.
Cool. So if somebody wanted to do that with you, where would they find that information?
Yeah, so I'm on, I have my website, so it's findingthejoywithin.com. Mm-hmm. And the button that says retreat, so it's on the retreat. And people can find me online as well if they have any questions on it.
That's awesome. Thanks for, you know, that is so practical. Like, you've got this idea that, and it is working and it's helping. And then if somebody's going, I don't know where to start, you just have this right ready to go. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're helping us solve the problem. That is wonderful. Maybe I'm going to come and do your retreat.
Oh, yeah. Come on in. Yes. That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Eva. This has been wonderful. I think it's been really helpful and just a good reminder that we need, like, God really does care about all the parts of our lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, totally. Yeah, it's so easy to like put them in the like sometimes I was just doing my morning prayer and my evening prayer, and then God was nowhere in the middle. Yeah. So it's so easy to throughout the day to just kind of bring him with every part of us in every situation, you know?
Exactly. He doesn't want to just be the first, like the first and last. He wants to be like all through it.
Oh, yes, totally. All through the day, everything we do. So,
yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is so fun. And thank you for the opportunity and to share and everything. I really enjoyed it.